So, Professor Tatara, yes. It's a privilege to be able to ask you some questions about this school. Yes. When was the school founded?
Yes, the school was founded at 1838 by Kōan Ogata. At that time, his age was 28.
Do you think it's in Osaka? Is there any significance in the fact that it is in Osaka?
Yes. I think that at that time, the Osaka is similar to Venice, Venetia in Italy. Mm. Osaka is a republic society. It means that at that age, Japanese are divided into about 300 districts. In each district, they have a governor, and the governor has a school to teach them the principle of governor. But in Osaka, there was no governor. So that was a very democratic society, and they decided by themselves, by the power of merchants. So this makes a very liberal society at that time.
So this was the first democratic school, really?
Yes, I think so.
And was it therefore something that developed into a new kind of education in Japan?
I think so. Particularly, Ogata Kōan was called Tekiteki-sai. Mm-hmm. That is his another name. Tekiteki is appropriate teacher.
Appropriate teacher.
Teki is appropriate. And at that time, in Japan had a very strong top-down philosophy. Mm-hmm. So that is a very strong concept in Japan. But Tekiteki is a very democratic.
Sideways.
Mm-hmm. And so it was a very new idea at that time. So we are very proud of Tekiteki's concept.
So in a way, this was the first private college.
Yes.
With taking people from all over Japan to come here rather than from one area.
Yes.
And it was teaching a new practical egalitarian philosophy.
Yes.
Why was it that it was so late, 1838, for the first private college to be founded?
Maybe until that time Japan was too peaceful.
Too peaceful?
Because the smaller the better.
Yes.
And in each district they have a governor and they have a school and they can
control it.
So they have no incentive to change the society.
So in the West, where we had universities from very early on, it was because we were unpeaceful.
you have the border between country and country, but we are surrounded by the sea. So in that sense, we can enjoy the peace. Peaceful time.
So this was exactly the same as China, which was also very peaceful.
But that is too big, and so it would be difficult to organize a society.
Yes. So out of this college, the people who came from this college went on, and was it from here that the universities, the private universities, developed in Japan?
In some sense, this is a private university like Bologna. Osaka is Venetia, and Rome is Kyoto, and this is a Bologna. This is a college. So I think this is a very private and democratic university. So Yukichi ran here, and he followed Yukichi Fukuzawa ran here, and followed this system, and he established a Keio University. As a private university, and the most supreme university.
The first one.
First one.
So he followed. So this is the origins of Keio University.
I think so.
And what do they teach mainly here?
Yes, usually they, not only medical care, but also Dutch science, Dutch culture, Dutch chemistry.
This is all Dutch here, yes.
Yes, they read Dutch, Dutch language.
So this was a little, tiny little way for Dutch knowledge and European knowledge to come into Japan, rather like Deshima. This was a kind of educational version of the Dutch trading post at Deshima in Nagasaki. Mm. And this was the educational wing, so to speak, of the Dutch.
Yes, I think so. But in the book they say that they have not so many books, just not more than 10 books.
10 books here?
Not more than 10 books.
But Fukuzawa himself recounts in his autobiography that he translated some Dutch books, very famously Faraday on electricity. Do you remember that story where he...
I read to the New York Fukuzawa's autobiography.
And he spent day and night, they were scribbling out 300 pages of Faraday's electrics here. Mm-hmm. You mentioned they learnt Dutch medicine. Mm-hmm. Was Japan a very healthy society at the time the school was founded?
I think so. Comparatively, the society in Western countries, we have a very good sanitary system.
Mm.
By chance, maybe, we have a lot of toilets.
A lot of
to
toilets.
Keep the urine or stools, which are used for the field to make rice.
I see. So you recycle.
Yeah, recycle. Urine was a gold.
Gold.
Yes, the peasant should pay to the house to have the stools or urine from that house.
I heard a story, in fact, that if you were a student and you were renting a room, if you were just one student and you rented a room, you paid to the landlord. If you were two students, you had to pay nothing. If there were three students, the landlord paid you because you could use, he could use your
urine.
Yes,
it will be.
Very interesting. Yes. So how was it that using all this urine and excrement made Japan healthier?
I think the urine stools carried out to the field.
Yes.
Also, for that purpose, they have to keep the clean house.
So, were there any other ways in which the Japanese were very clean?
Yes.
Did they wash a lot? Or?
I'm not sure. Maybe you know about that more than me, so I'd like to ask.
Well, the Japanese bath is very famous.
Yes, very. We like the
bathing.
Bath. Bathing is very
and
common.
And cleaning everything.
Cleaning everything.
Wearing special shoes and clothes.
Because I think that is, we have a lot of rivers near house, and we are surrounded by the mountains, and there are many rivers. We can use to wash clothes and food and these rivers. So
yes.
It is very important.
So what were the diseases that were mainly dangerous in Japan?
At that time, maybe smallpox,
yes.
Also dysentery.
Dysentery, a little bit.
Very small malaria.
Very little malaria.
At that time, yes.
That is one of the puzzles, why there was so little malaria in Japan. And also measles a little bit.
Measles, yes.
Yes, but no plague.
No, no plague. I have never heard about that.
Yes. So in Japan at this time, most of the knowledge had to come in from outside.
Yes, from China, particularly from China.
From China.
Originally.
Do you think the fact that Japan was so surrounded by a large sea and could only get its knowledge from China slowed down the increase of information and knowledge in Japan? Do you think it made it conservative and slow?
I think so.
So this
no incentive to learn more and more.
So it sort of reached a high level and then stayed.
Yes.
Because in Europe, as you mentioned, there were all these different countries, all these different traditions and cultures competing.
There was a battle between countries and peoples and
so competition.
Competition makes a society.
So sort of Darwinian evolution occurs through competition.
Competition
of close countries, whereas here there is no competition, and therefore it stays at a steady
and
level.
Also you discovered a great continent, America.
Yes.
So you have to open that society, so you have to promote the science or industry to make the new world, new society in America continent. So competition and new world,
yes.
As you had the two.
So we were, Europe was constantly faced with expanding its ideas. As it discovered new worlds, America, India, whereas Japan was
consolidated
itself. Well, that's fascinating.
Yes,
thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure.
So these dictionaries from Dutch into Japanese were the only, this was the only copy, there was only one copy. The students used to rush in and read them all night. And this was the thin thread of information and science and knowledge from Europe to Japan.
Yes.
Without this tiny thread of knowledge, there would be great difficulties.
Yeah.
In fact, it would
That's
have been impossible
right. yeah.
to have understood the two civilizations.
Yeah.
A historic room indeed.
Yes. Therefore, the student very eagerly use this dictionary, but only one set in the school.
Yes.
So
amazing.
So overnight, they are coming here until the morning. Yes.
Burning the midnight oil.
Yes, midnight. Yes. Okay.
So, Professor Shiba, what was this room?
Yeah, this is a student room, and maybe 30 or 40
students
sleeping here,
yes.
And also using, you know, for learning the Dutch language here.
I see.
But,
まあまあ、はい。どう？俺はいいんか？何が？俺はいいねんな。 いや、大丈夫、何でも。いっぱい書いてる。うん、結構。代表でいいやんな。うん、漢字使ってる。
So, Alan, beginning with the link to Dejima, perhaps you could tell me about the significance of this place, why it was so important.
Well, this school was founded in 1838 by Ogata Kowan, who had been to Dejima, the Dutch settlement in Nagasaki, and been influenced by Dutch medicine and Dutch science, so that he came back here and founded a college in Osaka, which was revolutionary and new. It was taking boarding students from all over Japan to learn the new knowledge which would outclass Chinese information. It had many famous students, among whom one was Fukuzawa, who came here and studied incredibly hard, learnt Dutch, learnt about Western science, and used this as a model for his later thought. He went abroad to America and Europe, brought back many Western things and knowledge, came back and revolutionized Japanese education, science, knowledge, attitudes, institutions in the next 40 years and provided the foundations for the modern Japanese nation. Fukuzawa had been born very near to this school in Osaka, and then his father died when he was 1 year old. He thought killed by the hierarchical system of the clan system, so he was always bitter that this had killed his father. But he was moved, went with his mother to a backwoods area in Nakatsu, and there he was brought up in this hierarchical, clannish way. He decided to try and escape, and he did so, and he came here for one night on his way to Tokyo. But his brother said, why don't you go to the local school, because there's a wonderful Dutch teacher, Ogata Kowan, why don't you go there? So he came instead to this school and spent some time here. And he worked incredibly hard. He tells how he worked day and night. He used to go to sleep on his desk, his head pillowed, and then just wake up and keep working. And he also was quite boisterous, and there are many stories of his undergraduate, so to speak, days. But he learned a great deal and then left here and went on to Tokyo. Well, the great, in a sense, the problem with Japan was that it was completely cut off from any outside intellectual influences for about 2.5 centuries. There had been some Dutch learning earlier, but the revolutionary development of ideas in the West, the whole of the scientific revolution, the technological revolution of the West, which had occurred in the previous 200 years, had more or less been excluded by the great influence of China and the fact that Japan was shut off. A little bit had come into this Deshima Island, but it hadn't filtered through. So suddenly in the early 19th century, the Japanese were beginning to have to catch up with the scientific revolution. And so Fukuzawa was trying to do this. He was full of curiosity, as were many Japanese, but there were no sources. There were only about a dozen books in this so-called university or college here for him to study from. There wasn't any basic knowledge or books on any of the sciences. So, for instance, there was nothing really on physics. So when they learnt that there was a local daimyo who had a book on physics, there was great excitement, and they asked as a special favour to borrow this book. And they borrowed it for one night, and they decided it was a 1,000-page book, but they could only copy a bit of it in one night. So they chose the last 300 pages, which summarised Faraday's revolutionary theories in electricity. So in one night they tried to copy 300 pages of a Dutch book down. So one group of students were sharpening the pens, another group were making the ink, and another group were copying it out, and they managed to do it, so that this place became the leading experts on electricity in Japan were in this school.